making TV special.
Donuts. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means.
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
This is a test. This is only a test. This is a test of the Emergency Broadcast Network. In voluntary cooperation with local, state, and federal authorities, the Emergency Broadcast Network has developed this program to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this is an actual emergency, the attention signal you now hear will immediately be followed by official information, news, or entertainment. Warning: the following program contains material which may be unsuitable for some viewers. The unintended or unauthorized reproduction, sale, or distribution of this product is strictly prohibited. Failure to obey these laws may result in fines or imprisonment. Emergency Broadcast Network is not responsible for any of the views or opinions which are expressed in the following program, and any similarity of persons portrayed to any actual persons living or dead is purely incidental. Viewing of this videotape is not recommended for any persons who may be subject to the following conditions: dizziness, nausea, confusion, or drowsiness caused by stroboscopic or other types of rapidly flashing light, sleeplessness, agitation, or aggression caused by the continuous viewing of television for abnormally long periods of time, disorientation, panic, or memory loss caused by the involuntary reception of large quantities of simultaneous external stimuli, or any other type of abnormal physiological behavior which can be triggered by unexpected atmospheric or electrical field anomalies. Emergency Broadcast Network recommends that in the event of accidental ingestion of excessive portions of this product, notify authorities immediately.
Psychoactive drugs. Mood altering drugs like alcohol, pot, pills, and others like
marijuana.
LSD.
Yes. From their landmark 1995 record, Telecommunication Breakdown, that's the one and only Emergency Broadcast Network. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the B-side of episode 200 from Media Monarchy. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. It's Friday the 14th, January 2011, and we're in a little bit early here in the Portland Radio Authority studios, busting out a B-side episode for you. Because again, there's so much going on in the world. And this is the niche we have carved for ourselves here on MediaMonarchy.com. Collecting mass amounts of raw data and open source intelligence for you, laying it all out, hopefully with a clean path that makes sense. You can follow it and you can do your homework and you can report back and tell me. I don't have it all right by any stretch. But what we're going to do on this episode is go over the latest alternative media from MediaMonarchy.com. And the way we'll do that first is the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com. Back after a little hiatus, a new year of New World Next Week, the weekly video series from myself and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. This week, we go over Geithner saying U.S. is insolvent, and we're going to get to that on episode 201 coming up in just a little while. However, stories 2 and 3 we're going to get to here. White House calls for identity ecosystem to protect online users. That's from cyberspacewar.com, and that's coming up a little bit later. But our third story on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com is how we are going to begin this B-side episode 200 from MediaMonarchy.com. EPA to reduce fluoride levels in water due to unwanted health effects. We take this from Washington's blog, and if you've already checked out the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com, you've already gotten a load of this from Washington'sBlog.com. Health and Human Services and the EPA announced a reduction in allowable fluoride levels because they're trying to balance the benefits of preventing tooth decay while limiting any unwanted health effects. The Associated Press notes that this new and other research issued last Friday, January 7th, by the EPA about health effects of fluoride are sure to re-energize groups that still oppose adding it to water supplies. And we do have a related update. Studies conclude cavity levels falling worldwide, even in countries that don't fluoridate. That's also from WashingtonsBlog.com. Added in to the show notes on the latest NewWorldNextWeek.com. We also send you to an episode from last summer from Corbett Report, Know Your Toxins, Sodium Fluoride. But as we continue on Food World Order, we'll take it from naturalnews.com. Food skyrockets to highest prices ever. Figures recently released by the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, index of 55 food commodities, indicates that worldwide food prices hit a record high in December. Though the costs of some food commodities like rice, corn, and soy actually decreased, oil seeds and sugar jumped significantly due to various factors, including erratic weather and droughts, according to reports. In the past, such ups and downs on the commodity market did not immediately affect actual food costs for consumers, but some experts say that this is no longer the case and that food inflation will occur right alongside the commodity price gains. Rapid food inflation has already taken place in India, for example, with recent reports indicating that the country experienced an overall food inflation rate of 18% last year. And we have reported on rising food prices on foodworldorder.com, which is coming up, I believe, on its second birthday. And we'll close out Food World Order with the binge and purge from January 13th, human cheese and toxic waste. Yes, it's just that gruesome. First, from Sky News, South Korea buries 1 million pigs alive. And the photos are gruesome enough since the country, or rather, since the first case of the disease was confirmed in November, the country has embarked on a mass cull. Foot and mouth disease affects all cloven-hoofed animals such as pigs, cattle, and goats, and any country that has cases of it is unable to export the animal's meat. The South Korean government has so far refused to vaccinate pigs against the disease and is now slaughtering them in record numbers despite appeals to stop. On January 4th, in one area of Gangwon-do, 33,900 pigs alone were destroyed, according to the World Organization for Animal Health, OIE. A different organization called Compassion in World Farming told Sky News Online that South Korea's actions contravene international guidelines. Michelle Dannon from the organization said, quote, live vaccinations are the best route, but if they do have to kill them, we would prefer that they were at least slaughtered humanely. Next on the Binge and Purge, from businessweek.com, lower corn and soybean output sends prices surging again. The rise in prices worldwide. A surprising drop in the U.S. corn and soybean crop sent grain prices surging to their highest levels in 2.5 years Wednesday. The price increases stoked concerns about higher food prices and tighter supplies of feedstock for food and biofuels. Wet weather and abnormally high temperatures contributed to lower U.S. corn production in 2010, according to a report from the U.S. Agriculture Department. The report also showed declines in soybean, wheat, and grain sorghum production. And the prices rise. And we jump to foodsafetynews.com. Nanofoods discussion group gears up in the U.K. The first meeting of the United Kingdom's Food Standards Agency, FSA, Nanotechnologies and Food Discussion Group is being held, or rather in this case now was held, January 13th, yesterday, and the end result may be a register of nanofoods on the market. The group was set up following a recommendation in the House of Lords Select Committee on Science and Technology 2010 report into nanotechnologies and food. The aim of the group is to help FSA advance some of the recommendations from the House of Lords report and to exchange info between different sectors within yada, yada, eugenics agenda moves forward. From grist.org, asking the question that I believe we've broached on this show at some point in the past. Would you try a slice of human cheese? Human cheese project being done by an NYU grad student, Miriam Simon, in an art gallery. Some are disgusted. However, if things continue to go as they've been going, crazy things like that may become more normal. Again, from Food Safety News, don't eat the toxic waste. It seems that a candy called toxic waste nuclear sludge may in fact be potentially hazardous. In a news release posted late last night on the FDA website, an Indianapolis company said it was recalling all flavors of its toxic waste brand nuclear sludge chew bars due to elevated levels of lead in the cherry chews. The release said the candy, hazardously sour according to its label, is imported from Pakistan and has been distributed nationwide in retail stores and through mail order. That's all we have for you on foodworldorder.com. In an effort to make some type of segue between Food World Order and what we're going to get into, cyberspacewar.com, we want to remind folks of my man Clyde Lewis of groundzeromedia.org live terrestrially here in the Portland metro area on KUFO 101.1 FM. Sunday nights. The most recent episode was a 3-hour episode, and the accompanying article is posted up, as always, on Sundays on MediaMonarchy.com. Final Cycle of Creation, Due Date Coming, where he writes briefly, I'll quote briefly, rather, I hardly find myself in a position where I'm obsessing over demons or even the possibility that the spirit of an ancient demon has somehow manifested itself in our backyard. However, I've reached that point now, and I hope that eventually I can move on and tell everyone that the coast is clear on the matter. At the moment, it seems that the coast is not clear. The coast is not clear. Again, we'll remind folks, if you find any of this alternative media valuable or enriching or helpful in any way, please donate and support your favorite independent, non-commercial, non-corporate outlet. Clyde needs your help due to some health problems and to just keep things going. And I can think of no better way to throw an extra $10 someone's way. So the donation link is there at the top of my latest post for groundzeromedia.org. And like I said, for the remainder of this episode, we're going to get into the latest, all the crazy latest from cyberspacewar.com, and we'll begin with a DEF CON. Crime Stop Double Think Disconnect. First article comes from thesmokinggun.com. Child porn probe leads to FBI headquarters. Wouldn't you know it? And we've reported on similar stories again throughout our history here. From Threat Level, ex-TSA worker gets 2 years in prison for planting a logic bomb that would be malware meant to fry a little computer's brain. The following statement is false. The preceding statement was true. Something like that. Ex-TSA worker gets 2 years for planting logic bomb malware in Colorado Springs screening system. And of course, we can't escape always something burbling up from WikiLeaks. Computerworld.com reporting on the U.S. subpoenaing Twitter for WikiLeaks info. AllGov.com asking the question, how secret were those WikiLeaks State Department cables from Cablegate? Meanwhile, an angle that we haven't perhaps given enough attention to of something bad going down in the shadows. WikiLeaks contributes $15,000 to Bradley Manning's defense, who has been reported to being held in inhumane, solitary conditions. And our last WikiLeaks note, Assange claims to have 504 insurance files on Rupert Murdoch and News Corp. Again from Wired, algorithms take control of Wall Street. Of course they do. You have to have highly efficient ways of running and laundering drug money worldwide between the old boys. Cyberdyne is real and making thought-controlled exoskeletons. That's from the Gamma Squad. The further intersection of video games and military technology and brain-computer interface. Transhumanism is coming in some way, shape, or form. I suppose this is as good a time as any to mention how much I've enjoyed going through the original Max Headroom series, which they just put out on DVD. Watched a disc of it last night. And one of the episodes called War was about news organizations doing business with so-called terrorist organizations so that they would have exclusive coverage of their domestic terror events in a dystopic future where television networks form a sort of oligarchy in a Mad Max / Blade Runner style world. So as long as we're now mentioning dystopias, the way we close out this Jan 13 DEF CON is the way we title it, Crime Stop Double Think Disconnect. Our good friends at Homeland Security, of course, won't be content to spread the see something, say something, threataganda, homegrown paranoia all around. PSAs at Walmart. And we'll get into more of that in the upcoming episode 201 and how it connects to Loeffner. But they're at it again, and ex-Microsoft current Obama pal Howard Schmidt is pimping a new DHS cyber initiative called Stop, Think, Connect, which I could only instantly think reminded me of Crime Stop and Double Think and the disconnect I just put in to complete the three. But even in their own slogan, Stop, Think. Stop, Think, Connect. So let's listen to the whole shilling spiel from Howard Schmidt on Crime Stop, Double Think, Disconnect.
Hello, I'm Howard Schmidt, Special Assistant to the President and Cybersecurity Coordinator. And today I'm asking for your help in tackling one of the nation's biggest security challenges, internet safety. We use the internet every day for shopping, banking, and staying in touch with friends and family. Businesses rely on it to interact with clients, process transactions, and reach new markets. Schools rely on the internet to teach students about new resources and opportunities that will help them chart a path for their future. In today's digital age, keeping the internet safe is a responsibility we all share. We need to take time to stop and think before we connect to services over the internet, share information online, or participate in online communities. Stop, Think, Connect is a national effort to encourage the public to take charge of our safety and security online. It's challenging us to be more vigilant and establishing smart habits that will enable us to be safer online. All Americans have an important role to play in securing cyberspace. So today, I'm asking you to step up, get creative, and enter the Stop, Think, Connect Public Service Announcement Challenge. We're looking for creative videos that will help educate Americans about internet safety and what we can all do to protect ourselves and our families online. We want videos that inspire Americans to stop, think, connect. Your submission should be either 60 seconds or 30 seconds and should be directed towards one audience, such as teens, young adults, parents, or older Americans. To enter the Stop, Think, Connect PSA Challenge, log on to www.youtube.com, create an account if you don't already have one, and then submit your entry by posting your video as a YouTube response to this video. You have until February 14th to take me up on my challenge, and the best videos will be posted on the Department of Homeland Security's Stop, Think, Connect website and will be used to help promote the campaign. Remember, when we stop, think, connect, we make the internet safer for ourselves, our communities, and our nation. To learn more about the PSA Challenge or to submit an entry, go to www.dhs.gov/stopthinkconnect. Again, that's www.dhs.gov/stopthinkconnect. Thank you very much and good luck.
Oh, can you accept the Threataganda Challenge and create propaganda for the state in the coming cyberspace war? And that is, of course, why we call it cyberspacewar.com. So that was the Jan 13 DEF CON Crime Stop Double Think Disconnect. And going along, right along with that, again referencing Howard Schmidt, White House calls for identity ecosystem to protect online users. This we covered on the latest episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com from eWeek.com. The Obama administration is committed to reducing internet fraud by developing a comprehensive national online identity strategy. United States Commerce Secretary Gary Locke said on January 7th, cybersecurity and digital identity was a national top priority issue. Locke, joined by the aforeheard Howard Schmidt, the White House cybersecurity coordinator at the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research at Stanford University, where they outline the framework for an identity ecosystem which will allow people to complete online transactions with confidence that their personal information was safe. Quote, we're not talking about a national ID card. We're not talking about government-controlled systems. Of course you're not. Our flashbacks to last June On cyberspacewar.com, White House prepping national internet identity authentication plan and cybersecurity measures would mandate government ID tokens to use the net. Both of those stories, of course, reference again the one and only Howard Schmidt. As we noted, a previous Bush crony and Microsoft crony, now a Bush crony. Or, I'm sorry, an Obama crony. You see, it makes no difference. Next on cyberspacewar.com, from Russia Today, Gerald Celente, the founder of the Trends Research Institute, believes that the internet will empower the youth of the world to unite to start a revolution that will overthrow the existing deadlocked elitist establishment. He predicts that in 2011, every citizen is going to realize that the Great Recession the world has been living through is actually a Great Depression, because the American establishment is running out of schemes. Gerald Celente notes, internet nuke bomb waiting to go off.
You're going to see a revolution worldwide. What's going to unite them in this cause is another major trend. Journalism 2.0. The internet has become the great connector. They all know what's going on. They're all Facebook. They're all together. They have a system where they're interacting and relating. It's a different kind of social network than the other one, but the same.
Cyber wars, you say, is going to be amped up this year. Why so?
Every major country knows that cyber war and cyber crime are going to be ongoing trends, for which every time they come up with a new way to stop it, a new way to get around, it's going to be born. People ask me, what kind of good job opportunities are there? That's one of them, becoming a cyber sleuth. At the worst levels of any decline, jobs for those kind of skills continue to increase. The worse conditions get, the more you're going to see cyber crime, and the worse economic conditions go globally, the more you're going to see cyber wars. It's going to be a new element of warfare. It's an internet nuclear bomb waiting to go off. You could bring down entire financial systems, stop the banking transfers. You can blow apart without ever having to light a fuse a whole stock exchange, from the FTSE to the Dow, from the Hang Seng to the Nikkei. Every major computer-connected industry or service is a potential target for cyber war. And you're going to start seeing it, rather than countries putting sanctions that don't work, they'll use cyber war to bring down their enemy.
And do you think there's any chance of there being more government control of the internet because of the cyber wars?
As the cyber wars increase, government control over the internet will increase as well. Along with journalism 2.0, we saw with WikiLeaks, the citizen journalists, now people have their own cameras to take films of things that we only used to have film crews for, now videos instant. They want to crack down on the freedom of information. They will use cyber war as another element in the war on terror to take freedom away from us and freedom of net neutrality. And by the way, the United States is passing a new Net Neutrality Act. Orwell couldn't have made up a better name. There's nothing neutral about the net neutrality that they're talking about. It gives government virtually complete control to put anybody out of business, as Homeland Security did during the Christmas season when they said that companies violated copyright laws. You have no recourse. You're gone. You're out. You're over. And we saw it with WikiLeaks. They closed them down on Amazon. PayPal stopped doing business with them. Bank of America, MasterCard, one after another. The government's closing them down, clamping down. The greatest fear that governments have are freedom of speech and exposing the corruptness, the ineptitude, and the double dealing going on that they don't want the public to know about. So the more freedom of information that goes out, they're going to start using cyber war and the war on terror as an excuse to take that freedom of the internet away from the people.
That was, of course, Gerald Celente, internet nuke bomb waiting to go off, talking about the coming cyber space war. And again, that's why we call it that, my friends. So, continuing, cyber war on the Korean Peninsula. Is warfare headed online? South Koreans hacked into North Korea's official Twitter account recently and posted messages defaming leader Kim Jong-il and son Kim Jong-un. North Koreans mounted an attack in retaliation and shut down the alleged website in the South responsible for the remarks. Justin McCurry writes further in an article called Korean Hackers Mount Cyber Skirmishes in Propaganda War, quote, "Propaganda wars are not confined to private citizens. The Korean Times reported plans to launch a propaganda audio and video webcasts targeting the few North Koreans with access to the internet. Pyongyang warns, meanwhile, of grave consequences, and of course you can learn more from the Council on Foreign Relations." The CFR, on their website, cfr.org, in the article, "The Evolution of Cyber Warfare," a 2008 article from Greg Bruno, and I'll just mention, it's always good to stay subscribed to the Council on Foreign Relations feeds to see what's going on within the elite think tanks. Russia to spend $3.8 billion on its space program. More on that from SpaceDaily.com. They're going to increase their share in the global space market. Plans to launch 50 spacecraft in 2011. Russia wants also to complete its version of GPS, the GLONASS navigation system. The Russian satellite system was to be completed last year, but a December launch crashed into the Pacific north of Hawaii and resulted in the loss of three satellites. August is the target date to launch another three satellites to complete the system, according to Russia's space agency Roscosmos, or Roscosmos, rather. Russians felt they needed their own system because Americans could switch off GPS at any time. Russia has ironically failed not only to complete its navigation system, but won't have the readers to receive the signals and possibly will be purchasing equipment made in China. GLONASS research began in 76 and interrupted by the fall of the Soviet Union. Vladimir Putin vowed to replace, or rather place, a GLONASS reader in every car by 2012 as a demonstration of renewed Russian technological might. Analysts observe that GLONASS will enable Russia to target its missiles and weapons from space, something other countries have done for years. Weapons of mass deception, the Cassini files, the Nemesis theory, but first, info porn. Exoplanet Atlas, an interesting exoplanet gallery, a possible first to chart known exoplanets at wired.co.uk. Definitely info porn for astro geeks. January 11th, Cassini flew about 76,000 miles above the Rhea surface. These will be by far the best images we've ever had of Rhea's surface, and the details down to just a few meters will become recognizable. That would be Saturn's second largest moon. Again, more on that from SpaceDaily.com. The Nemesis theory, a theorized red dwarf star, a binary companion to our sun, looked into by Luis Alvarez and Richard Muller, with a hypothesis that led to extinction events. These have been several posts from my man Alan, who posts to cyberspacewar.com, giving me a hand getting through all the amazing news out there. And again, if you have an area you are adept or passionate at and you want to get involved, get active before we get radioactive, or not to hate the media, but to help become the media, send me an email, mediamonarchy@gmail.com. Weapons of Mass Deception. Mark Pilkington, author of Mirage Men, writes an excellent account of early ufology from an intelligence point of view in a Fortean Times article called Weapons of Mass Deception. Pilkington begins with the Air Force's Project Grudge, an early effort to study UFOs but intended primarily to suppress public interest. The effort proved successful until author Donald Kehoe wrote a 1950 article that exposed the Air Force cover-up in True magazine and later expanded into a book, The Flying Saucers Are Real. Kehoe transformed UFOs into a respectable topic. The era of scientific ufology was born, notes Pilkington. Now, if all of that seems bizarre and far-flung, a little too coast-to-coast, that's just some of the background of something that's been going on now for decade after decade. I'll say I believe there are UFOs, I just don't necessarily think they're alien. And all of this is preface. So to answer the question, why would you go over all of this crazy UFO stuff? Well, my friends, obviously, they're prepping us for something. From The Guardian, Earth must prepare for close encounter with aliens. World governments should prepare a coordinated action plan in case Earth is contacted by aliens, according to scientists. They argue that a branch of the UN must be given responsibility for supra-Earth affairs and formulate a plan for how to deal with extraterrestrials should they appear. The comments are part of an extraterrestrial-themed edition of the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society A, now published with links to you, and I believe you can get all those articles in full. In it, scientists examine all aspects of the search for extraterrestrial life, from astronomy and biology to the political and religious fallout that would result from alien contact. Will a suitable process based on expert advice from proper and responsible scientists arise at all, or will interests of power and opportunism more probably set the scene? Asked Professor John Czarnecki of the Open University and Dr. Martin Dominic of the University of St. Andrews in the introductory paper to this special ET-themed edition. A lack of coordination can be avoided by creating an overarching framework in a truly global effort governed by an international politically legitimate body. The pair argue that the UN already has a ready-made mechanism for such a forum in its Committee on the Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, COPUOS. And lest we be reminded, going back to August and April of last year, respectively, the United Nations are already working on appointing a space ambassador to greet alien visitors. Meanwhile, around the same time, and again, the hype on all of this has just ratcheted up on every level, we see that. Catholic Church says it's okay to believe in aliens. They say they would baptize them. They have a satellite called Lucifer. UK school kids are running UFO drills. And while all that was going on, a little man named Stephen Hawking was warning us over making contact. So, my friends, that's going to do it for this B-side episode. As we leave you preparing for close encounters, as The Guardian is right here. This has been the B-side episode to number 200 from Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. It's Friday the 14th, January 2011, and of course we have a big 201 episode coming up very soon, going over all the latest and all the ridiculous things going on in the world that, again, we try and cover on this show, and we're not left or right or try and shove fear down your throat. We're just trying to get some answers through this 21st century Gutenberg-like revolution, and we're going to use these tools and bells and whistles while we can. Thanks for listening, my friends. I appreciate it. We'll go out with the way we set the table, preparing for an alien attack with Mars attacks. Take care, my friends.
Professor, what do we know about them?
We know they're extremely advanced technologically, which suggests, very rightfully so, that they're peaceful. I suspect they have more to fear from us than from them.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the Martian ambassador is going to say a few words.
Quiet down, Mr. Ambassador.
Whoa.
That's a Martian? That's Klaus.
My God.
Yikes.
Hey, we all make mistakes, Mr. President.
This could be a cultural misunderstanding.
Mr. President, they have a planet surrounded with thousands of warships.
What do you think, Marcia?
Kick the crud out of them.
Mr. President, we're going to need you to safety.
Should we go this way?
Sorry, ma'am. There's a tour going through here.
Jack Nicholson.
This president of the United States.
I want the people to know that they still have 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
Glenn Close as the First Lady.
I'm not going to have that thing in my house.
Annette Bening.
People say they're ugly, but I think they've come to show us the way.
Pierce Brosnan.
I'm curious.
Danny DeVito. Martin Short. Sarah Jessica Parker. Michael J. Fox. Rod Steiger.
Annihilate! Kill! Kill!
Jim Brown. Lucas Haas.
He made the international sign of the donut.
Jack Nicholson.
Whoa! Hey! It's Tom Jones, right?
And yes, Tom Jones.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Mars attacks.
Why can't we all just get along?
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
It's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.